Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together the third perek of Megillas Koheles. This perek is one of my favorite prakim in the Megillah, and you'll soon appreciate why. I'm sure many people are very fond of this, but the depth is incredible. Let's look at the 22 psukim, and it is divided into four sections. The first section is the first eight psukim, and it forms a very specific pattern, which I'm sure we're aware of. And that is the structure is lachol zman ve'es, lachol chefetz tachas ha'shamayim. For every time, every moment in life, there is a place for everything under the heavens. And it's built essentially, accepting the first pasuk, it's built out of seven psukim with four phrases each. Two couplets of opposites, essentially. 28 items in total in these seven psukim. And most of them are verbs, except for milchama and shalom. So it's eisla ledes, a time to be born, eisla ve'eislam was a time to die, eisla tas, a time to plant, ve'eisla korna, a time to uproot, eisla haroig, a time to kill, eisla po, a time to heal, eisla frotz, eisla vnotz, a time to break down or to break through, a time to build up. So opposites, and it goes all the way through, all the way till the end, which is eisla lehov, eisla snot, time to love, a time to hate, eisla milchama ve'eisla shalom, a time of war in a time of peace. So what is this framework? What is the author? What is Shlomo HaMelech teaching us? The Midrash in Koheles Rabba quotes Rabbi Yehoshua de Min Sichnin, who says a very interesting thing, and that is this refers to specific events in Jewish history. If you look in Jewish history, you'll see there was a time, Eis Milchama. If you look in Jewish history, there's an Eis Laledes. There's specific events which are nationalistically important to the nation of Israel. Rashi adopts this particular approach. Rav Tovia has a different approach, and he says that no, because all the action words, everything is an action, is a verb as to what we're doing, with the exception of the last two, which is Eis Milchama, Eis Shalom, that means to say that the last two are the silos into which everything else fits. So at a time of peace is a time to birth, to plant, to build, to laugh, and a war is a time to die, to uproot, to kill, to break, to cry. Right, so everything fits into those two silos, and there's times enough, and it doesn't have to mean that a war is a full-out war with guns, cannons, swords, and bows and arrows. There's times of conflict, there's times of tension, and there's times of release of tension and happiness enough, and it calls for different ways that we react to this, which is what the Ibn Ezra essentially says. The Rashbam adopts Rabbi Tovia. In the Midrash, the Ibn Ezra gives it one more layer depth, and he says that life is complex and it's changing, it's ever-changing. There's no such thing as a constant, that we can't always apply the same reactions. We can't always be laughing, we can't always be crying. Life keeps changing, and therefore our reactions have to change in tandem. The Targum points out that it's complex, and that some things we choose, some things we don't choose, which is going to be one of the themes of this perek, and that is that we don't choose to be born and we don't choose to die. And those things that happen, we don't choose peace or war necessarily, but we do choose if we're going to plant or build or destroy. We do choose if we're going to kill or heal. Those are the choices we make within the framework. So some things are inevitabilities and some things are our choices. And that's going to be very much the theme of this parak, which moves us into the second section, which gives us some psukim tests to test Vav. In this section, it's the idea of the actions of Hashem and the actions of man and the relationship between the two of them. In this section, the author, Shlomo HaMelech, is now reflecting on what he's described, and he comes to certain conclusions. What conclusions does he come to? So I'd like to suggest over here three ideas of conclusions. There are more, but these are three particular ones which resonated with me as to how he's reflecting on what he's just stated, that there's a time for everything under the heavens. First idea is hopelessness. Pasuk Tes seems to be pretty clear. Ma yisron ha'oseh ba'asher hu amel. So what's the point of doing anything? The Ibn Ezra and the Mitzvotos point out that since everything's always changing and there's a time to build and there's a time to destroy, what's the point of building if there'll be a time to destroy it afterwards? I'll spend all my effort investing in this company, investing in this relationship, investing in these people, and then they'll be hired by somebody else. They'll go away. Somebody will, God forbid. All kinds of things can happen. So what's the point of investing if everything is transient? That seems to be the idea. And this matches a lot of the theme of what we've seen in the last two prakim. But there's another lesson that Koheles learns from this. The second idea is the idea of hiddenness. The pasuk reads in Yud Aleph, Es hakol aso yofe bi'itoy. Everything Hashem did rightfully at the right time in a perfect way. That relates to what he's just talked about, everything having its own time. Gam es haolam nosan bilibam. He placed the world in their hearts. Mibli asher lo yimtzah ha'adam es ha'maaseh asher asoy lekim merosh v'ad sof. Without a person really understanding Hashem's actions from beginning to end. What does that mean? He gives the olam, the world, in their hearts, but they don't know all the actions of Hashem. Rashi says a remarkable insight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to us in that He does not let us know all the information at once. Olam means the world. The world, in a certain sense, is an infinite expanse. Right? It's the biggest term of description of something which is everlasting. Yet, at the same time, it is spelt in this pasuk without a vav. So it's read elem, essentially. Elem, or he'elem, actually means hiddenness. So the world itself is hidden from us. We don't have the capacity to understand all. We don't know the future. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when the next war is going to be. We don't know the next time that it's going to be the time that things are going to be uprooted, which is, in a certain sense, a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. He charitably allows us not to know the future. He hides it from us, thereby allowing us to use the opportunities of growth and happiness and all the good times in life without being clouded over about the future as well. Very, very powerful idea that is being described over here, which means to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are infinite, but He does the goodness to us, but not knowing this. Rav Kook, in his letters, has a very beautiful concept. He has a notion of the spiritual evolution of the world, and in that spiritual evolution, he talks about the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing us only to discover certain inventions or ideas or theorems sequentially, meaning to say people did not discover that the earth was round until such time as they'd already discovered gravity. Which means to say, because if people thought the earth was round, they would be terrified, they would be falling off it, because sometimes you're at the bottom, sometimes you're at the top. So sequentially, we were able to understand things step by step, and that's part of what's being described over here. The third idea, perhaps, of what he garners from this is the idea of rejoicing in choice. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'gam kol ha'adam she'ochal v'shasa. All the people that eat and they drink, they should see good in all of their actions, in all of their investments, because it's a gift of God. What does that mean? So Talumas Chachmas says in his Pirush on this is the Nesivos on Sefer Koheles, and he points out that ultimately so much of the world is predetermined, so much of the environment around us is predetermined, and so much of our lives is fixed. So what can we celebrate? V'ra tov b'chol amaloi. Only the goodness in our actions. Our actions are the only space which we have freedom, and therefore we should celebrate our achievements and our actions. That's where we have the space to succeed. And that perhaps explains the next pasuk, Pasuk Yodalet. Yodati ki kol asher ye'asah ha'olekim hu yiyeh l'olam. Everything God does is for everlasting. Olav ein l'hosif. No one can add to it. We may only grow, and you cannot detract from it. V'olekim asah as she'yiru m'fonav. And Hashem made us so that we should fear in front of Him. This reminds me of the idea in Chazal, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, Chutz Meira Shamayim, except for the fear of heaven, which is what this pasuk is focusing on. What he's saying is that a lot of our life is inevitable, whether we're rich or whether we're poor, whether we're healthy or whether, God forbid, we're not healthy, whether a person is psychologically fit or psychologically less fit. All these things we did not choose in life. A lot of these things were given to us. Yes, we can certainly exacerbate them, but the choice we have to make in it is Yiras Elokim. Is are we going to fear Hashem? Are we going to utilize, so to speak, the cards we're given? We don't choose the cards we're given, but we choose how to play that hand. That is what's being described over here. It's the balance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice, the inevitability of the situations and times, and the way we deal with it, which is what all of these lessons seem to be reflecting. Move on to the third section in this parak, which is simply to Psukim, Tezayin to Yudzayin, where he talks about justice and injustice. He describes where whenever you see a court of justice, you see there is corruption, right? Human beings are corrupt. Now, this does not mean to say every based on every court is corrupt, but in general, human beings have the ability to be able to be corrupted, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, he will judge ultimately the Rasha and the Tzaddik, and there'll be a time for every place and every desire. What does this mean? Rashi explains that since there's flexibility in action, there will be judgment, but not now, not here, on high. Ultimately, at the end of the day, since we do have actions and we can make choices in life, so there will be a time where our actions will be held accountable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because human beings can be so corruptible, even those who are in charge of justice. And Rashi and the Mefarshim and the Midrashim give specific examples in history as to when that occurred. And finally, the parak concludes with Psukim Yud Ches to Chof Beis, where it describes man and beast. And he says, look, I look at the world around me, I look at the human being, and I say they're not so different to animals. They're really like an animal. Because Mikre b'nei Adam, Mikre b'heima, Mikre echad v'alahem. They're going to all die. They're all going to be buried in the ground. They're all going to the same place. And who knows? Mi yodeh ruach b'nei Adam ha'alehi l'mala v'ruach v'heima yoredes l'mala. Do you know? For the human beings, soul is going to ascend and the animal soul is going to descend. Do you see that? Can you measure that? Says Qoheles. V'ra'isi ki'entov me'asher yismach ha'adam b'ma'asov ki'yu chelkoi. The only thing a person can do is celebrate their actions. So it seems to be coming back to the same point. What's going on over here? What's the comparison to animals? The Ta'alum HaSchachma explains the reason Hashem does not intercede in the injustice of the world, people making bad choices, using and utilizing their free will for bad things, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to intercede with them. What he does instead is he leaves them to their own bad choices. He leaves them like an animal. He allows them to live in the cause and effect of their bad choices, and he is not going to punish them. He simply allows them to live in that world. The Midrash Rabbah takes it even to a more extreme example and says that it's referring to how Hashem demonstrates to the nations of the world that the nation of Israel is going to be so obsequious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they will stretch out their necks like animals, go to the slaughter for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. In other words, their actions will be so self-sublimating to the service and the Yiras Elohim, it will even make them to the point of animals. At the end is the last question that I always struggle with, is the penultimate pasuk is when he asks, Mi Yodea, do you really know if a person's spirit is going up and the animal's spirit is going down? Is this a heretical question? Rashi says no. What's being described over here is, Rashi says, is because we know that the animal's spirit is going downwards, don't act like a Rasha. Don't be that person who will be like an animal whose soul will go directly downwards because it achieved nothing in its life, did nothing of consequence, or perhaps even things of negative consequence in the world. So therefore, it is a prescription rather than a heretical question. This ends this parak, and again, the theme seems to be, is the place for free will in a world which is predetermined, in a world which is much more complex and arranged around us. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.